Welcome to Black Armada Tales, an actual play podcast. My name is Josh Fox. My pronouns are he, him. I will be your keeper.
Hello, I'm Becky Annison. My pronouns are she, her, and I will be playing Gabby the Surge, and her pronouns are also she, her.
And I'm James Torrance. My pronouns are he, him, and I will be playing Azure Wings, the last, whose pronouns are also he, him.
Hi, folks. I'm Nick Bate. My pronouns are he, him. And I'm playing the Viscount Greaves, who is the Shade. His pronouns are also he, him.
Hi, my name's Sue Elliott. My pronouns are she, her. I'll be playing August Nye, the Found, whose pronouns are also she, her.
And today we are here to play Apocalypse Keys by Jamila R. Najadi.
You cannot sense... You can sense a few of the jars, the ones that you left most recently, but the others seem distant, or your position compared to them seems wrong. But as you open up your mind to reach out and sense them, you feel a presence of another mind, the mind of Jolene Danforth, and you can hear that she is calling for help.
I'll turn and look at Azure Wings.
Is this coming through to me as well?
I don't think so, no. Although, who is it that's got the psychic invokers? Is it you?
It is me, yes.
Azure Wings.
Ah, okay. Sure, why not? I think it makes sense that you would sense it too in that case.
And I think when I turn and look at Azure Wings, I'll just say, do you sense it?
Oh, yes. Of course, it may not be real. But if it is real, I really feel... I've caused Jolene... I sort of owe Jolene, you know, because of the incident.
Yes. Gabby, August, I think the psychic invokers may be in trouble.
In trouble or are trouble?
Well, in trouble.
All right, let's head to the psychic invokers first and your lab second. But I won't be happy if we end up making a party of five with Jolene. Maybe there'll be a safe place we can stash her?
It could be awkward, but from my experience of the house, it didn't abound in safe places.
Okay, great. So you're going to go and look for Jolene. That's great. Just before we do, let's do Azure Wings' start of session move before we get any further.
Okay, I turn direct to camera as we're standing in the room full of printers and say, I'm irresistibly reminded by the way that this is like and yet unlike the division headquarters of the time, 65 million years ago, when I and my colleagues in the research group, which working to harness the ultimate powers of the universe, accidentally dimension shifted to the mirror dimension. A mysterious world, like and unlike our own, and yet empty of all life. Or was it? But on that occasion, the brilliant collaboration of my team, we were able to bring ourselves back to the Prime Universe with fresh insights into higher dimensionality, which has aided our dimension-shifting abilities ever since. Oh, how unlike my disastrous previous expedition into the oldest house. So, mechanically speaking, I then roll. Oh no, it's a roll. That means that stuff will trigger after the roll. Okay, well, it doesn't really matter how many darkness tokens I spend, because I'm going to be over five anyway, so let's spend two, which is usually about optimal. And C, gives me a 12. So, on an 11 plus, your memories turn dark. Choose one from the above list, which I'll come back to in a moment, and the keeper will describe a dark omen or a significant complication. Let's go for the key. Describe the long overture of the apocalypse and how it claimed your people, and uncover a key. So, yes, that's the insights that we claimed from the Mirror Universe were, of course, pivotal in the work that brought the attention of those terrible higher dimensional beings that devoured our civilization. Perhaps Perhaps the mirror universe was not empty. Perhaps it was from the mirror universe that we summoned them. Insect mathematics has still been unable to reveal it to me. But perhaps this will all tie in to the oldest house and whatever extra-dimensional space it inhabits. So, you give me a key, but you also give me a dark omen or a complication.
Could you describe what the buildings of your people? Did you have buildings that you lived in or worked in? What did you have?
Yeah, I mean, we've established that we have big step pyramids for ritual purposes, but I think, you know, it wasn't all step pyramids all the time. Even the ancient Mayans took the odd rest from step pyramids, I believe. So that they were no doubt sort of specifically suited to our, you know, insectile dimension shifting nature. So they wouldn't need sort of doors or windows because you could just shift through them. But they'd have sort of, you know, they'd be big and tall and have like lots of sort of structures you could perch on rather than, you know, stairs you could climb up or anything because we could fly.
Yeah. So vertical. Verticality. Yeah, cool. And I'm maybe imagining quite organic shapes, like that maybe built using secretions rather than, you know, bricks or whatever.
Sounds good.
Cool. Okay. So what the clue the key that I'm going to give you is in the computer room, as you're sort of, you know, making your plans to head out and investigate the house further, is a blueprint that looks to be of Division HQ, although it doesn't look quite right, but the broad shape of it kind of looks familiar. You think you can see various bits that you recognise amongst bits that you can't. And on one of the plans of one of the floors, you can see, in fact, no, it'll be multiple floors. Across multiple floors, you can see shapes which call to mind one of the ancient Cretaceous dwellings in which your people lived. It's got that same verticality, so it's almost like there must be somewhere, if this blueprint is accurate, there must be somewhere within Division HQ that is a void that you've never noticed. And within that void is one of the ancient Cretaceous dwellings, somehow intact after all this time. But there's something else about it which is related to the mirror dimension. And I'm just wondering, so when you went to the mirror dimension, you encountered architecture similar to what your people's dwellings, but there was something wrong about it. And I'm wondering what that something was.
I was about to say it's like, you know, on a colossal scale, but is that going to be, because if you're trying to fit something in Division HQ, that's going to be inconvenient.
No, that works, because I think what it is that Division HQ is like a multi-story building, and so this setup, it runs right the way through. And indeed, there's a second page to the blueprints, which is just the Cretaceous dwellings. Like, if this blueprint were right, the Cretaceous dwellings must protrude out of the top of Division HQ. Anyone standing outside would see this enormous mountain of Cretaceous kind of beehive shape things poking out of the roof. Of course, you've never seen such a thing. You can also see on that same drawing, you can see somebody has annotated it with like little bits of entrance here and install stairs here, just around the Cretaceous bit. Okay, that's the key. Bloody hell. These keys are always so involved, aren't they? And now what do I have to do? Give you an omen of something dreadful or something like that?
A dark omen or a complication.
Ah, yes. Excellent. Great. So what happens is, as you're all standing around kind of plotting your next move, the handle of one of the doors to the room turns, opens, and Danforth walks in.
You're an absolute monster.
Yes, I am. Just pausing for a second. In the mirror dimension, you encountered exact copies of people from the real world. But those exact copies were not quite exact. There was something about them that was different. You know what I'm going to do? What was the sign? Did they have a single difference, or what was it? How could you identify a mirror? I love asking questions. Let's just sit here and make you do all the work.
Moustaches, obviously.
Yes!
There was a sort of empty darkness to the eyes. The eyes just dark voids. Now, you might say, how does that map in insect terms versus in human terms? It just does. Empty voids.
Yeah, okay. Well, that would, I think that would spoil what I'm trying to do here
a
little
bit. Oh, I can be something different then, if you want.
So why don't we just say that the iris and the pupil are both are sort of indistinguishable. So they've got this dark core to the eye, but no colourful thing. But they might not notice that straight away. They might just look a little bit, particularly in poor lighting. So yeah, Danforth walks in. Just maybe two steps into the room, looks around, grabs the blueprints, and runs out again.
I mean, Greaves shouts, "Danforth!" and runs after him.
Excellent.
Gabby's going to run after the Viscount Greaves.
I'll run after Gabby. Beware, the house is full of dangers. We lost the whole squad last time.
We Brilliant. Can't lose Greaves.
Danforth!
What about you, August? Are you going to stand there and watch them
August
leave?
August is slightly dumbfounded because everything's just... Yeah, I think this really takes her by surprise, and she does start running after everyone, but she's a little bit further behind than everyone else.
Okay. Yeah, so Greaves. Was it Greaves who first ran? It was, wasn't it? It would have been.
Of course.
You open the door, step out into a corridor that seems different from the one you came in via. It is cold and undecorated. And the floor is a cold linoleum. And Danforth is already further away than you would have given credit for based on like how long ago he went through the door. It wasn't very long ago. He jumped through the door. You went straight after him. He's like significantly ahead of you and turns around a corner off in the distance. What do you do?
I mean, I run. I don't think Greaves is particularly fast. I think it's probably lumbering. I shout, "Danforth, please wait. It's me, Greaves."
I don't think you're making a move there, are you? You're just going after him.
I don't think I've got enough, whatever it is, to do anything more than chase in this moment.
Cool. Gabby, you come out of the door next, and the corridor is different again from how you had remembered it, but also how I've just described it. It is now kind of more organic, more curved and slightly bendy. And you can see Greaves, like, again, further ahead than he should be. And even, like, particularly taking into account the pace that he moves at, you can just make him out. But because the corridor curves, it's sort of, even though he hasn't yet turned a corner, he's kind of hard to get your eye on.
Okay, I'm going to stop running. And I'm going to shout, "Stop, Greaves. The house is trying to separate us. If Danforth is here, we can find him together. Just come back to me."
Do I assume I hear this?
I don't know. Does he hear it?
Feel like I ought to make you make some sort of a move, but none of the standard moves apply, I don't think. So maybe we'll just have to do another one of them there on the fly custom moves. I think that the closest analogue to this is probably Power Through Darkness. push the limits of your supernatural powers, straining to do the extraordinary or avert imminent danger. You're not really pushing the limits of your supernatural powers, but you are.
I can if you like.
Can you?
No.
How are your powers relevant here?
They're not really.
Yeah.
But I always like the idea of pushing through them.
But I think you're trying to. It's almost like you're trying to push the limits of your non-supernatural abilities, because, as you say, the house is trying to stop you. You're trying to push through the house's supernatural abilities.
Yes.
So let's do that.
Well, I have one darkness token, which I fully intend to spend.
Okay.
And then I'm going to have to go and be sad for a while to get them back. 6, 7, 8, 9.
Brilliant. So I think that means that you are able to get through to Greaves.
Well, I mean, I think it means that I can speak to Greaves and he can hear me. Getting through to Greaves is an entirely different situation, surely.
No, I think this means that you can get through to... Like, Greaves may still choose to ignore you, but the message is absolutely clear and gets through on both an intellectual and emotional level. And... So it says I can offer you a reprieve, golden opportunity, or a bond with someone. So by way of a reprieve, what I am going to say is that you're able to get to Greaves physically. So I don't know why that is. Like, is that because Greaves turns around and comes back?
So I think, Becky, you've actually just handed me a golden opportunity. I'm sitting on 0 darkness tokens, and one of my triggers is react with cold reason and logic. And
oh,
what my
yes.
heart wants is to chase Danforth. That's what my heart wants. But you've shouted out to me now, and I can't help but recognize the truth of what you're saying. So as much as I would dearly, dearly love to keep chasing Danforth, Greaves slows down to a stop, which I think maybe grants you an opportunity to catch up to me. And I'm still looking down the corridor to where Danforth ran.
Gabby will put her hand on the arm of your suit. I don't know if you can feel it or not. And she'll say, look, I know it's painful. We're probably going to see some things in here that we'd rather not. We have to stay together. It's the only way we're going to get through this. And this house is going to try and tear us apart.
And there's a beat, and then Greaves says, yes, Gabby, of course you're right. Thank you.
I'm going to say I'm reaching out.
Yay.
I think given how incredibly painful that was for Greaves, I might just go ahead and take the full 4 darkness tokens.
Yeah, do it. I'm going to make the reach out move.
The reveal your heart.
Did I reveal my heart? I did try to sincerely connect to you. Do people feel I revealed my heart, or maybe not?
I'm inclined to say yes. Or maybe it's just a very small step to... Because you didn't just say stop, right?
No.
You said that we need to stay together.
I didn't just shout, it's a trap!
It's true.
Okay, I shall roll it then, but I don't have any darkness tokens to add, so...
Excellent.
And yet I rolled an 8.
Woohoo! Nice.
Nice. So you get to choose one, and also Greaves can choose to deepen the connection.
I'm going to gain a bond. Or shall I mark XP?
Sweet, sweet XP.
Sweet, sweet XP. Let me just see how I'm doing for XP.
You could also... why would you clear a mark of ruin? Who wants to clear
Who wants to clear a mark of ruin?
I know, that's just that's foolish.
I am going to take an XP. I'm sorry, everybody.
What does that actually mean in fictional terms?
Taking an XP.
They taught you something important. What did they teach you?
They taught me. I'm not sure I can express it in that way. But I think that I have observed what this has cost Greaves to not go after Danforth. Because I wasn't around in the finale of... When we did the finale of the last session and... you came to terms with the fact that Danforth was dead. I don't think I was there for that, and I don't think I know that happened.
I think that's a fair assessment. You weren't there for it, certainly, and I think it's very unlikely I will have spoken to anyone about it.
So as far as I'm concerned, you still think he's alive. This is alive Danforth. You're going after him. I mean, it's probably still incredibly painful for you, but I think that I perceive it as perhaps being even worse, or maybe it isn't worse, I don't know. But yeah, I think that I see what it has cost you to hear my words and stay with us, and I think you have taught me the value of trusting in the group over what this house is going to try and throw at us. And I think that I articulated that to you because intellectually I knew that's how the house would behave, but now I've seen kind of how the house is going to try and cause us pain through you. Well, I have seen it through you, that the house is going to try and cause us pain, but it's probably going to do it through to all of us.
Cool.
And I think I'm going to deepen the connection. I'm going to very suddenly turn to you, Gabby, and in a low voice. I mean, it's coming out of a speaker, so, you know. But in a low voice, I'm going to say, with a real sort of edge of urgency, Gabby, I'm going to need you to watch me. I don't know if I can pull back again. Please, will you?
Don't worry, I've got your back.
Thank you.
We're going to have to watch each other.
Yes, of course. And in fact, I'll spin around when you say that and see if I can see anyone else. I'm taking a bond with Gabby. Just
yay.
Cool. Yeah. So I think the others, Azure Wings, and then August. You did say you were following August, did you? Eventually. Yeah. Come out of the door. As before, the others are further away than you would expect, but they haven't disappeared off into the distance. And the corridor has started to resolve itself into something a bit more straight and geometric. Though you wouldn't know the difference, of course. You didn't see it when it was going a bit weird.
So mechanically speaking, after the last roll, I was torn between. So I think I will just go for the option of diminishing my power and losing all darkness tokens. So I am fearful of... So I could have caught up, probably, with Greaves and Gabby using my usual, you know, hyperspeed flight and dimension phasing, but I'm fearful of using my dimension phasing in this extra-dimensional space that we're in that's warping space within itself, especially after seeing the, you know, terrible effects of its space warping on my earlier failed mission. So I'm just sort of puffing and wheezing, running along in real dead Danforth's body.
Yeah, and I think when August comes out, she will see Azure Wings presumably walking towards the two of Greaves and Gabby, and not the distortion effect doesn't seem to have applied here. So when you come out, you'll see Greaves and Gabby further down the corridor than you would expect, but Azure Wings at a sensible distance from you walking towards them, and you're able to reunite as a group. And I think the cat follows you out, August. It probably leaves at the same time as you, and coiled around your legs, says, "Good, you were able to resist the house's lure. This bodes well for your future success. Perhaps it is time for you to continue your attempt to contact Ms. Danville."
"Of course, we don't know whether she's just another deceptive duplicate, or the real Jolene Danforth, transported, like us, into the oldest house."
"Is there, Azure Wings, is there a way to tell?"
"When, 65 million years ago, when I was in the mirror dimension, it was all in the eyes. But we didn't have time to encounter many duplicates on my last mission into the oldest house, so I'm not sure if the same's true here."
"Still, this is useful information."
"Don't be so sure that it is straightforward to distinguish, or that there is a distinction to be made. In this place, reality and fantasy are not as separate as you might imagine."
"Wait, if there is no distinction, then are we duplicates? Am I a duplicate?"
"Perhaps I shouldn't have said anything. I apologize if I have unnerved you."
I start sort of, you know, patting and prodding myself.
I think actually Greaves will reach out a sort of reassuring hand to Azure Wings, just to calming, "You are you."
I nod in a sort of uncertain, acknowledging fashion.
Yeah, I'm very on board with this being incredibly awkward.
I don't think it matters whether we are us or whether we are not. We have something to do and we should focus on that task.
Yes, Gabby, I agree. But navigating in here, it looks like it will be more challenging than moving around the old office.
August, can you find Jolene?
I would have thought so. Yeah. Oh, I mean, I don't think I've connected with her before, but yeah. August reaches out telepathically. She's been to where all the psychics hang out before. She doesn't especially like it there, but she has been there, so she kind of visualizes that place in her mind and sort of finds Jolene in that space. But, you know, she's kind of in a mind palace type situation.
So you can sense Jolene in that place, but the how that then sits in relation to where you are is harder for you to discern. And to do so will constitute pushing through darkness. Thank you for listening to Black Armada Tales. We've been playing Apocalypse Keys by Jamila Arnajadi. If you'd like to find out more about Apocalypse Keys, check out evilhat.com/home/apocalypse-keys. Or check out the show notes where you'll find that link together with links to our stuff. See you next time. Yeah, should we clappity clap clap?
Yes, I just wanted to talk to you about the clappity clap clap because I know you like to get time is dot up and make us all synchronise. But when we did it for the Rusty Quill, like, Helen just counted us in. 1, 2, 3.
I don't get how that works though, because there'll be a lag. When okay. She counts in, there's going to be a lag between her saying 3, 2, 1 and you hearing it.
Okay.
And the whole point of time is that you don't have that lag, so she must do something. Well, it's not so much I'm a perfectionist, it's that, oh, that's just how I was taught to do it by Mina, and it works. So I don't understand why you would just not do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it saves my delicate vocal cords having to count.
You've been doing your warming up exercises.
Yeah. Mars bars. Did anybody else have Mars bars at school? I mean, the musical Mars bars, not the...
What? So, no, I guess.
So, our music teacher, when we first had music classes at school, would make us sing this this song, which I will sing for you in a moment, by, I think, as basically musical warm-up, but also as part of the gauging your musical range. So the song is this. Mars bars, Mars bars, Mars bars, Mars bars, Mars bars, Mars bars. And if you're listening, Mr. Clark, I hope you're impressed that I still remember that.
It sounds to me like that could only happen in England. For some reason. I don't know why
He was a really... he was a very eccentric English teacher. posh accent. I seem to remember interesting eyebrows. I mean, you know.
Nice.
I didn't take music, like, past the point where it was compulsory, so... It must have been a very effective teaching tool. I still remember it.
I remember my music teacher, whose name completely escapes me, so if she's listening to this, she'll have no idea it's her. And all she ever said was, that's very expensive, it cost £50 all the time to all the kids. Anytime anybody even like looked slightly askance at a triangle, she'd be like, that cost £300, be careful, we can't afford to replace it. I was like, whoa.
That is
surely
fair,
the
though.
Point of music is that we're supposed to touch the instruments. No!
But have you seen what our kids have done to our instruments? I mean, for God's sake. You can't trust them. I wouldn't let children near musical instruments.
We were
over
11, though.
Yeah.
What are the instruments in your house?
We've got a keyboard, like a full-size, piano-size keyboard with weighted keys, so it's more like an electric piano, really. Perhaps it is an electric piano, I don't know. We used to have a child size ukulele, but that got smashed. We have a child size accordion, which, as far as I know, they haven't destroyed. I think all the destruction was from a previous owner.
Oh, yeah, that might be true.
Got a recorder.
Follow up question. What's the name of your family folk band?
Well, it doesn't exist yet. Raffy does have, he's been thinking about names for his eventual band, which I think I'm going to be in, from what I understand.
That's more rock oriented, because you've been playing a lot of Guitar Hero with him.
Yeah, Raffy's band will be something like, you know, The Devil's Arse or something. Like
What does Rock and Roll Recorder sound like?
Amazing.
No, nobody knows.
You wouldn't believe how good it is. You can tell that he's following Josh's footsteps on the music side, because on my side it's all goth, industrial and folk. And he's very much squarely plumped for the sort of Meatloaf John Bon Jovi bracket.
Meatloaf is goth.
Meatloaf is not goth. Shut
Try
up.
Telling Andrew Eldritch that. It's not the cure.
Exactly, that's Jim Steinman's The Link, right?
Between...
Jim Steinman did writing on Meatloaf's Good Stuff and did production on some of the Sisters of Mercy's most notable tracks.
Did he? I didn't know that. Okay, all right, fine. Meatloaf's goth.
The heart.
Anyway, I haven't finished listing the musical instruments we've got. We've got one of them little wooden things with the metal things that you play with your thumbs. Kids have ruined that.
Have they ruined it?
Well, the it still works, but not very well. Mm. Yeah, the thumb piano. We've got a boron.
You're not...
just making shit up. Yeah.
No,
these
we
not
have
actual
got...
instruments.
We have got
boron.
A boron.
Dude.
It's a
carry
drum.
On, and I'll get him a.
It's a circular drum.
It's an Irish drum
with a thing stretched over the top, and you can bang it.
I'm failing to distinguish that from like a regular drum.
It sounds like a drum to me.
I will show you. I will show you.
Bigger casing if it was a regular
drum.
The
Coors used one, didn't they?
Yeah, it's a really traditional Irish.
Then suddenly everyone in the 90s knew what one was. Because
of
the Coors.
Well, you know, Coors are pretty amazing.
We've got a tambourine.
Still getting folk band vibes.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, children's instruments. I mean, folk basically is like...
I'm a big folk fan.
Music for people who can't play proper instruments. Oh, yeah. I went there.
You